Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, kiddies. This is y'all's ghoulie, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio. It's your boy Bones with Bobby Benghazi Spitzer. What's going on over there?
The Taylor.
We are back, fresh, shiny, new. What the hell did we do last week? The Friday countdown. Oh shit.
Made a nice little list of all the Friday movies, and we put them in our respective opinion.
We caught a lot of shit over. My God. I was streaming on Twitch. I don't remember what day. It might have been yesterday. I don't remember. But Rob actually hopped on there, and he gave his list, which I can't remember. But he had Jason Takes Manhattan, like... Jason Goes to Hell was his last one, and I think Jason Takes Manhattan was, like, right down there at the shit.
Nobody likes that one, Lee.
It's fucked up.
I think you're the only one. You're the only one.
I know, it's fucked up, man.
Young with that one.
Damn it. It's not right, man. It's not right. It's a fun movie. I stand by it.
What did he put as number one?
I don't remember. Damn it. I don't remember. But part three was like his fourth or something like that. Fourth best. Like, it was down a little bit.
No figure.
Yeah. He doesn't know. He's a rubber fan, for crying out loud.
Part one was probably his favorite.
No, it wasn't. No. Part one was even lower than three.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it was seven or six.
I don't remember. Part two, I think, was his second. Something like that. But anyway, we're back this week with a strange one. Actually, speaking of Ghost and Rob, their episode of This Horror Life, their most recent episode, they were talking about Wes Craven remakes, and one of the movies they mentioned were The Hills Have Eyes. And... they talked about The Hills Have Eyes remake, and I was like, man, I remembered really liking that movie, but I haven't seen it since it came out, and here we are.
We're going to do a whole full-fledged Last Radio review on this 06 film.
There we are. And, you know, Mick, have you... yeah, we'll get into it in a little bit. Let's get through the news and all that shit first.
It's time for Spitball in the News with Bobby Spitzer.
First of all, everybody can go to 12nightshorror.com, remotehorror.com, horrormoviesandstuff.com. Go check all of them out. And all these articles we're about to mention, you can go to slasherradio.com to check it out. First up, this is right up our alley. Mink, apparently... Kevin Smith said that Tusk 2 is possible.
Oh, no. Come on.
And he gave ideas for storylines for sequels.
I don't know a harder working man, you know, but goddamn. He's a workhorse. I can say that much.
Tusk, though?
Yeah.
And we love Kevin Smith.
Did you see the reboot yet?
No, I still. Jane Silent Bob. No, I still have it.
He made a few Tusk jokes.
So he knows it's shit?
I'm sure he knows, but Kevin's the kind of guy where if there's a fan base for it, he's gonna do something for him. He's gonna just leave it hanging. There's people who like it out there. I mean, the concept of it was fucking weird, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's a weird kind, maybe too weird, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with you on that.
We'll see.
We will. I don't know. We love Kevin Smith, but I don't know why he don't try like a different movie. I'm sure he's full of ideas for him.
I don't know. Jason Mewes did a horror movie. He acted in one. I forget what it's called. And they never came up with one together. I don't know why they don't just come up with something. I don't know. Man, they even it was a he's a hell of a writer. And I guess, like, on script, like, when you're reading the script and you're going through it, you're like, wow. But then once it was captured on film, it just didn't seem right. It was weird. It was just a weird movie.
Yeah. I don't know. And it seems like Kevin Smith, he wants to so bad. He wants to do a horror movie so bad. And I don't know. I just don't think Tusk is the route to go. If he wants to, I'll tell you this. If he wants to do it, he's going to get it done.
He will. But there's a lot of, even if he wants to tap into a franchise that's been done before, I've said it multiple times, man, that he'd be good for writing a few, horror movies for different franchises. I mean, look at DC. He's had his hand in the Flash.
Right. He writes for them.
Wouldn't be awesome.
True.
Come up with something.
Yeah, we can't blame him for it, man. We really can't. I mean, he's trying to push it. But like I said, just not Tusk, dude. It's already... God bless his little heart. Okay, next up, Terrifier gets a 3-issue comic book series. Dude, I mean, comic books are right up your alley.
Yeah, who's making them?
Let me see... The first issue is available this October. Check out Steve McGinnis's artwork for it. Okay, so Steve McGinnis is behind it, and it's coming out in October.
But is it going to be through Image Comics, or...?
I don't know. Let me see what Steve McGinnis works for. Let me see.
He doesn't necessarily have to work for that company. They could have bought him a board.
Right? Freelance illustrator. I don't think he works for anything. He's got, on his Instagram, he's got some Jason stuff. So, I mean, I think he just does his own thing.
Normally, they're not really confined to one company like that.
Right.
But, he's making that shit better not be fucking Marvel.
Oh, God, no. No, oh, Jesus Christ. No. Could you imagine? Oh, God, what they would do to Terrifier. I don't think they would even want to touch that more. Like, that Terrifier, Art the Clown, is way out. I don't think they would even touch that. No Marvel in its future, I highly doubt. I'm looking forward to the movie, the part two to Terrifier, though.
They were doing an interview, and they had the dude dressed up as him standing there next to the director, I guess. And he just fucking looked scary, just sitting there normal.
Yeah.
We'll look into it.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes out. October should be fun. I mean, that's the time for all things Halloween. And shit, what's fucking better than Art the Clown? And... we're not really getting movies right now. Not that I don't think Terrifier was pinned for any time this year, but I mean, hey, at least we're getting some type of content somewhere. A comic book is a good route to go.
Yeah, boy.
Yep. So we'll wait and see what happens with that. We got a little sad news, and this article is by William Scrumpert. DC, speaking of DC, they had a lot of layoffs recently, and... yeah, I'm not going to go over all of them now, but you guys can go to slasherao.com, check out the article about it, and read through it. But, man, that's not good. Variety put out a number that there was 650 layoffs from DC Comics.
That's fucked up, man.
Yeah, that is fucked up. And we've been saying they've been going so strong.
I'm sure it has a lot to do with the COVID thing.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, the comic book industry isn't really... it used to be, so especially with a COVID thing like this going on, yeah, I'm not surprised at all. People go in there and then they'll have these comic books and then be like, oh, I'm gonna get this amount of money, have the heart broken. Things aren't just the age is gone. Some of them are worth a shit ton still, don't get me wrong, they always will be.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I remember the days where like shit would drop and you'd go in and you'd buy two of them. So you have one to read and then one that you would just hang on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And then, man, those people are going in to go turn in those things that they held on to and they didn't, you know, they're not worth what they thought they would be.
Nah. Well, there's some of them that are big money, but, I mean, you got, they're few and far between.
But you'd have to go way back to, like, the golden age of comics, you know, when shit was really just starting to begin. They have the Silver Age, Bronze Age, like they have their very select variety of what's worth, and you know, thousands of dollars possibly.
Yeah.
Some are hundreds. But like, let's say, even if you do have something that's worth a lot of money, you know, and like the first issue of The Amazing Spider-Man, you know, and you go in there and you turn it in, they're going to scrutinize it. They'll look through it. They'll see, you know, it's the spine in good condition. You get docked on that. Pages bent. You get docked on that. So it's like, that, it makes them even more rare, but like if you have a copy of it, it's not, you know, they'll go by, it's like baseball cards and shit. It goes by condition.
Right.
So out there, there are these mint conditions, man, of these comic books that are worth their weight in gold. Not that they weigh much, but you get the, you know, metaphor. They're worth a ton of money, man. And this is American art. You know, Jack Kirby, these artists that made these comic books, the writers, Stan Lee, all these people, man, this is a part of America. We were going in a war and stuff. They were giving them to the soldiers, and they had propaganda. You had Captain America fighting Hitler, mm-hmm. shit like that. You know, and each comic book, man, you know, there's a ton of fucking work that goes into that. Covers are a big deal, and then just the artwork inside of it, and now everything is digital.
Right.
So, I mean, that has a long way to go with it, too. But back then, it wasn't the way it was, man. You had to get to the drawing board. There were artists at work. Eastman and Laird, the guys that created the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they rented out a whole studio, man. Pencils, dropped out of college, all that shit. Fucking just went to town, drew that shit by hand.
Yeah. Comics are... I mean, I personally was never into them. But it was always something I definitely appreciated. You know, I always could see why people were into them. Because it's crazy how you can get... the little word bubbles and shit, and sometimes the panels didn't even have that, and you still had a whole story being told. You have to, like, you learn how to read, and you know, you can read a book and whatever. If you know how to read, you can read a book. You have to know how to read a comic, and it's completely different than reading anything else.
A lot of shit comes from comic books, man. Superman's like over 100 fucking years old or something.
Mm-hmm. Tales from the Crypt
came mm-hmm. from it. Dead, a lot
yeah,
of shit,
Walking
dude.
Dead, big deal. Yeah.
But I think now, I mean, like, they're laying off people. I'm sure those positions are probably like errand boys, stuff like that. You know, staff. I'm sure.
Yeah.
They probably had like a couple of people in the mail area. Let them go. I mean, you look at these comic book companies, and especially like DC, there's a shit ton of employees to keep that business running.
Like I said, there's a lot of layoffs, so I don't know who's still there, who's the, I don't know any of that, but...
Yeah, so you got production people, you got people who've gotta... I don't know if they would work for DC, the ones who put the comics together, print them out, send all that,
right,
I don't know.
Right, I don't know how their... I don't know how their business structure worked, you know, and all that, but... Yeah, I mean, it's still sad to see, because we don't know what it means.
People be like, I work for DC,
it's
the greatest job
ever
fired.
Right. All
because
that Rona.
I should have worked for Marvel.
God, don't say that. Fucking Marvel. Okay, what the hell is up? Okay, last but certainly not least, I mean, Robert Englund has his own coffee blend.
Does he now?
Yeah, it's called Stay Awake, Stay Alive, and it's by Dead Sled Coffee. And yeah, dude, you could buy Robert Englund coffee, Freddy Krueger coffee.
Want the Freddy Krueger coffee and a Freddy Krueger mug while I'm wearing a Freddy Krueger sweater in December and drink it with a Freddy Krueger hand.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's fucking cool though, man. I mean, you would think like something that's way past its due. That should have been out a long time ago. It's perfect. Stay awake, stay alive, Robert Englund coffee. But yeah. That's a big dick move, because now he's basically, Kane Hodder can't do that. He can't come out with a line of machetes and call it, you know.
Hodder's Rotters?
Yeah, hi, whatever, yeah. that's some big dick shit that he just pulled. He just basically said, I'm Freddy, bitches.
And it lines up so well, like it really is genius, you know, it's, like he should have done this a long time ago. It would have made a lot of sense. So I might pick some. I'm not really a coffee guy, but I might pick it up and try it.
One more, Robert. You're out there fucking with coffee. Come on. One more. Take a sip of your brew. Put on the hat and the shoes and the sweater and the gloves and the makeup.
Ah, goddamn it. You're right, dude. Every time I see Robert Englund or even just his name, I'm like, ah, come on, we need you. We need you.
One more, motherfucker.
Unbelievable.
What if they do a Dead by Daylight DLC where you can get his Freddy Krueger?
I'd buy it right now. Right now. I said that, dude. I will never buy. I have Ghostface and that's it. So it's not like I bought a ton of fucking, you know, killers on Dead by Daylight. But Freddy Krueger is my favorite slasher. It's my favorite killer. And I won't buy him on a game for $5 because it's not the right one. If they ever put out a Robert Englund Freddy Krueger, they would make a ton of fucking money.
Is there anything that they're talking about?
I haven't seen anything. I don't think they ever will because they already have Freddy. The money they would have to spend for, I don't know if they, I would imagine it'd be new licensing and then they'd have to do something with Robert Englund himself or whatever. Yeah, so, that. Oh God, I wish they would do that, man.
Let's see, somebody asked that question in 2019, exactly almost a year from now in August.
Was it on the forums?
It was on the Dead by Daylight forum itself. Blue Fang posted, August 2019, anyone else still holding out for a Robert Englund skin for Freddy? Honestly, it would be really awesome if he was the only killer in-game that actually spoke. Instead of just grunts of pain and complained and yelled out whenever he gets stunned and when survivors fell asleep, instead of a laugh, you would hear him say something like, "Welcome to the nightmare."
Welcome to my world, bitch.
Yeah, and then there was another person that posted a couple of quotes that said, "Welcome to primetime, bitch. This is God. Bon appetit, bitch."
Dude, he had so many one-liners, and a lot of them involved bitch.
Right. There's really no answer. Everybody else just kind of went off on some fucking speedo shit because of the Quentin character in the new one. Wearing a speedo, they started talking about that. Fuck the internet, man. You can't have shit, man.
You're so right, though. You're so right. You say you can't have shit.
No.
Can't find nothing, dude. It always leads to something dirty. Like, why you gotta talk about doing this, people? Oh, come on.
The Shape 78 on this forum, on this little line that they got, said that it would be awesome to have Robert Englund's Freddy in game. I never understood why they didn't add the original Elm Street film version of Freddy. It's true. And then he put life issues? Question mark. And then this
possibly.
Guy said, Fred Krueger followed up right behind him and said, they don't have the rights. They got the rights to the remake version because it bombed really hard, and that license was probably free. I still love that my boy Krueger is in the game, though, and he doesn't talk, so it doesn't bother me. That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, but he still looks different.
He does. You can very well tell, like, there's no... It's the remake one, for sure.
Yeah, they... They made it as far as the design, you know, it looks very much like Jackie Earl Haley. I mean, in that movie, they did a good job on that, but they just did it on the wrong one. I don't know why the fuck. I mean, I guess it makes sense, you know, the game's marketed to young kids, the young kids know the new Freddy, but damn it, man. See, that's why I'll never give him the Brajol, because look at Friday the 13th game, man. Look at that shit. We just had Matt Shacha on a few weeks ago. The fucking passion and dedication that went into that game and making it authentic. These motherfuckers don't care. They're going to throw up there whatever's going to get them their fucking $5 sales, and that is the end of it.
Other than that, we really didn't answer anything.
Yeah, well, that's the end of that. We're never going to get it, so... they already got Freddy. What are they? They don't care about anything, any authenticity. They got Freddy. That's all they care about. They have Freddy Krueger. That's it. And they beefed him up and made him unstoppable in that damn game. I hate it.
Robert Englund plays Dead by Daylight, apparently.
What? What? Where'd you see that?
YouTube video of Robert Englund playing as Freddy in Dead by Daylight.
I'm sure he played it once. Yeah, I would love to. Did they have a video of him actually, like, the gameplay of it at all? Like, can you see any gameplay?
No. It's a video of him in six playing the game, and then all they did was they edited the television screen to be Freddy Krueger in Dead by Daylight instead of the game that he was playing in the movie. So with him in the movie, when they had that scene of him playing,
right, I would love to see Robert England. However, how old is... Hold on. Let me see. Robert England is 73 years old. I would love to see... And we love Robert England. It's no slander. But I'd love to see a 73-year-old Robert England try and play Killer on Dead by Daylight. Hell, he'd probably do better than me.
I don't think we're going to get it. And then ticket it's not likely because Krueger is a licensed killer. They made what they were given the license to do, which was the reboot. I guess they just didn't get the license to him. They would need to get a new agreement or modify the existing to get original Krueger in the game, which is full of legal and monetary complications.
I don't know, but yeah, let's stop talking about that by daylight. I'm still fucking mad about it. But, Mink, we do have The Hills Have Eyes remake that we can talk about.
Yes, we do.
Holy shit. Mink, I'm not sure what you know what you think about this movie. I have no idea. Tell me what your thoughts are on it.
I remember when it first came out, and I watched it. I thought it was really like a gory movie, which I liked. I thought it was cool. And then on the remake, I watched it, and I thought the same thing. I never really was, you know, impressed by the movie per se. Cool. I thought it was fun. It wasn't really like a big deal.
Okay.
I remember when it came out, it was like balls to the walls. Everybody was gung-ho over the movie.
Yeah, they were. They were. And, it's funny we spent so much time on Freddy Krueger, you know, with Wes Craven and everything. The original Hills Have Eyes, of course, a Wes Craven project, 1977. I'm very upset that this movie, the remake, did not have Michael Berryman in it. We had Michael Berryman on the show, oh God, I don't remember, a while ago. And, dude, like, he was still active acting. Like, I think he might... Hold on a second. Michael Berryman, let me see.
He was in The House of a Thousand Corpses, wasn't he?
He was in that movie. Michael Berryman. Yeah, dude, he has projects like he's in completed, post-production, 2019, 2020. I mean, he's still active in the acting scene. And, you know, like he had projects in 2005, 2006, 2007. 2000, I mean, every year he has multiple projects. Damn, 2011, he had one, two, three, four of them. So, like, dude, why did they... He was on the cover of the original Hills Have Eyes movie. Like, why the hell didn't they put him in this one at all?
I don't know. Yeah, hillbillies and stuff, to me, they were a little lackluster. I wasn't into them too much.
In this one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. See, I looked at it as... I agree with you. But I looked at it as, from the original, they were way better, only because, you know, it's 2006 as opposed to 1977. But you look at things like Wrong Turn is a good example, a nice comparison. Dude, yeah, compared to things like Wrong Turn and shit like that, yeah, they were a little weak.
So, like, everybody was talking about the movie when it came out and how, you know, badass it was. And don't get me wrong, like, they had their moments. And when he shot himself in the shitter, that was fucking ridiculous.
Mm.
It was pretty cool, but I was expecting to see like some grotesque, you know, it's Hills Have Eyes. It's about these hillbillies and shit. When they came out, I was like, oh, yeah, fucking incestual hillbillies, pretty much. Like and then plus they did this whole nuclear thing. So I'm thinking like this bitch is gonna have like fucking three arms and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking a vest from Mad Max.
Yeah. Also, another thing, the movie was really, really long. It was like practically a 2-hour movie. So, I mean, that hurt it too. So, I don't know. See, I'm on the fence with this one. Like, it had moments that I liked a lot. Like, the shotgun thing you were talking about. That scene was crazy. That was really cool. It was really dark. The fucking mutated hillbillies, whatever they are. They're calling him Daddy.
Yeah. I think that was like the best scene in the whole movie.
Yeah.
The part when he went through and he found the ear, he took his gun out and started, you know, searching around. That was actually pretty fucking scary. And they didn't even show him. You know, you didn't even really know what the hillbillies looked like at that point. So they were able to be a scary movie still without having to show all that, which was pretty good. That's something that they got. I think I'd give them credit for.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. You know, also, what I didn't notice, and I didn't even notice on the rewatch that I did yesterday. Dude, the daddy in this, that was Ted Levine, from the dude who voiced over Joyride and, you know, all that shit. I didn't even notice that was Ted Levine.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I didn't even fucking realize. Silence of the Lambs, fucking all kinds of shit he was in. I didn't even notice.
Candy Cane.
Dude, I love that movie.
You think that was Paul Walker's best movie?
Personally, yeah. But, I mean, I know people will call me crazy because Fast and Furious was so widely successful. But it wasn't, and Paul Walker did phenomenal, but it wasn't Paul Walker that made those movies so great. It was the cars. It was the, you know, it was the hot movie. And it grabbed people's attention. You know, then they ended up having Ludacris. And, like, you know, it was a very, what's the term?
Trendy.
Trendy, yeah, very trendy movie for the time. So, and Paul Walker helped. He attributed to that. But I think Joyride, Ted Levine, and Paul Walker made that great.
I got a question for all the females that listen. Would you rather fuck Paul Walker, Brad Pitt, David Beckham?
Oh, God. Wow.
Or... help me out with the last one.
Can we throw George Clooney in? No, George, he wouldn't stand a chance. I don't know. Who would it be? Oh, Channing Tatum. That's a tough one.
There you go.
We should ask Ghost. I think she would go with Paul Walker, though.
Paul Walker, David Beckham, Brad Pitt, Channing Tatum. Or as I like to call him, Channing Taint. Yum. Did you see that shit?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, but yeah. I did not know that Ted Levine was in this shit.
I seen that in the credit when I was looking through, like, the IMDb and shit. I was like, holy shit, Ted Levine.
You'd be fucking kidding me. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Damn.
Ted Levine? For real? I didn't even hear it, though. That's the crazy part. Like, you'd think his voice would stick out. I didn't even hear it.
Yeah. I didn't notice it in the voice.
It has some weird fucking shit. Like, he was sucking her titty milk with the gun pointed at the baby. Like, it had some real controversial shit. You know what I mean? I think it had more, like, nerve itching moments than it actually did, like, oh my God, I'm scared moments.
Right.
Because that thing had her, fucking basically raped.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it's like, you know, this is more
uneasy.
Yeah, than it is scary. I mean, that's scary as fuck, but goddamn.
Right.
Well, you gotta go like that.
Yeah, and, you know, even just off his face value, like, before you even get to all that and the shit that they did, it's a really interesting concept just in itself. The whole thing where it's like nuclear testing site or nuclear attack site, whatever it was, and, you know, these people were mutated due to the, like, that to me is interesting right off the bat.
Isn't it in the first one that there was incest?
I don't think so. I mean, I only seen the first one like twice. Like, I wasn't a huge fan. It was a good movie. I'm not saying it was bad, but it was just a little slow for my taste. So I, you know, it's not something that's exactly for me.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the first one had something to do with, like, incest or something. I don't remember nuclear or anything in the first one.
I don't, you know, hold on. Let me look up the first one really quick. I'm sure they have like a little synopsis. Hills Have Eyes, 1977. Wikipedia. Oh my God, that's a lot. Okay, we're not reading all this. On the way to California, a family has the misfortune to have their car break down in an area close to a public... in an area close to the public and inhabited by violent savages ready to attack. They don't mention in there... Okay, storyline. Oh, that's it. It just repeats what it said. A family going through California accidentally goes through an air testing range close to the public. The crash in a stranded desert, being stalked by a group of people which have not emerged into modern times. I don't know. Yeah, either way, it's, you know, they kept them in 1977, these people, creatures, whatever you want to call them, they looked great for 1977, you know, and it looked phenomenal. So I think they, appearance-wise, because they had some cool-looking shit with these creatures in the, or people in the remake. And I, my problem more so was, you know, they were a little, in their actions and body language and everything, they were a little too human, most of them. So that was my problem with it. But appearance-wise, they, you know, especially the ones towards the end, they were looking good. But, you know, I think it translated well. If you were to pick this movie up and put it in 2006, I think it progressed. It progressed pretty much on point. And they were able to recreate that. Because in 1977, it looked great for their time.
29-year-old difference, you know?
Yeah. But also, by the way, forgot to mention, special makeup effects designer, Greg Nicotero in this movie.
Yep.
Greg Nicotero, homeboy Greg Nicotero. You can go check out our interview with him back on Halloween of this last year. We had him on. Fucking phenomenal conversation we had with him. But, dude, man, I looked through his IMDb again last night. Man, if this guy didn't have his hand in every fucking franchise one way or another. It's absolutely incredible.
And he's got a crazy track list. His catalog, plus his independent stuff, just stuff that he did.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ. When I seen, I forgot that he was, because I did the little flyer thing we had for that episode with him. I had that on there. I was like, oh, shit, he did have, he was in this, as effects in this one. He even had an acting role in it.
Huh.
He was one of the little, you know, the little fuckers running around. I don't know which one, but he was on screen somewhere.
Did he get into the second one?
I don't think so. It's like he comes, he does what he's got to do, he works his magic, and then he's out. He's moving on to the next one.
And it's goodbye. See you later. I've got the next job. Got something else. I like the fact that he gets involved with the movie to a point where he's like, you know,
yeah,
I'm just going to be in it too.
Yeah. So Greg Nicotero was in this sumbitch, which automatically, you know, it was phenomenal. You know what I really liked? They should have did more of this. How they popped the car's tires in the first place. They threw that little, you know, little spike thing down. And then when they were in, I forget which character was inspecting, like he was looking around that little area with all the abandoned cars and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like barbed wire around the tires. And like you could see how they were fucking these people over and getting them stranded. They should have focused a little more on that, I think. Because they did in the original. It was a little, their tricks and traps and all that shit were a lot more prominent. And this, it was really just them attacking and fucking shit up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it just happened too fast. And then once, I mean, they busted their nut early and just still tried to fuck on one dick.
Limped it in
the best analogy. Yeah, I just think it got to the point way too fast, and then they just, you know, from there on, you know, finished the movie from that point.
Yeah.
I mean, plus, you know, yeah, I don't even think a lot of people, like, I wasn't even privy to it being a remake, honestly, at the time when it first came out, but I understood the gist of it. I mean, you get caught out in the middle of nowhere. I knew very much about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You've seen this shit before. You've seen one, you've seen them all. Don't turn down the fucking dirt road in the middle of nowhere when some asshole gives you direction. You see what I mean? Like, so, like, it climaxed real fast. You know what's about to happen. Shit went down quickly. And then now, you know, it's a fight for survival. And I think a lot of it was drama. You know, they had the baby involved. And,
yeah.
The mother died. And I think that's why I was like, you know, I wasn't really too shocked by it either as a 16-year-old man. And now I'm 29
really?
And it's the same thing, same kind of feeling. I looked at it. I watched it again to try to get to find some other new shit, maybe something that I didn't notice before. But this movie is very straightforward. You know, you see it once. It's not going to really have too much more after that. It's very straightforward. I think what it was is that, too, in 2006, there was, you know, this. Everything had like this need to be gory. Even the Resident Evil movies and stuff in the early 2000s and stuff, it was just it was like a thing for horror movies, and they made sure they put that in there. But if you take all that stuff out, it's just a really, really fucked up drama movie.
Yeah. You know, I don't so much have a problem with that. Only because I kind of like that scene in that trailer. Dude, hell broke loose. That's the definition of hell breaking loose to me. Like, and you're right, because like with the rape scene, and that was fucked up. That was too, I don't like seeing that. What was it? Last House on the Left or something. One of those movies I seen in the theater, and it had a rape scene in the woods. I almost got up and walked out. Like, I really don't like that shit. It makes me, call me a bitch, I don't give a fuck. I don't like seeing that. So that I didn't like that didn't add to it for me. That just turned me off for a little bit for, you know, on the movie. So, but then, you know, shooting the mother, like, I was like, oh shit. You know, there were things like when that creepy fucker was holding that baby, I was like, oh fuck. And then he put the gun to it. They added like these creep, at least they had intelligence, you know, which makes them a lot more dangerous as opposed to like a zombie movie where it's completely different.
Yeah, they knew how to hunt humans.
Yeah. Yeah, and they could have had more of that, man. This movie, to the point where the daddy, Ted Levine, went out and, yeah, he found the gas station, all that, that's when you actually got into the real action of it. Dude, that was 50 minutes in almost. It's almost an hour in. It's too long. We didn't need the backstory at the fucking little campsite they set up in the desert. We didn't need that, man. You could see what kind of type of characters these characters are. You could see it a mile away. We didn't need to know the daughter smokes pot and like get into that whole fucking 5 minute conversation lead up. We didn't need all that. So they could have cut down on that a good amount. And I think it would have helped this movie a lot, because they had a lot of, even then, if you take 50 minutes, you get into it, oh shit, all this shit happens. Dude's on fire, fucking all that shit in the trailer, this and that, deaths and all that shit. But then it slowed down again. And it's like, oh, like you really only get back to it like the end of the fucking movie.
I just think that when this movie was, when it dropped, like a lot of people already knew what it was already.
Yeah. I mean, as far as plot, it was identical to the fucking first one.
Well, no, I'm just saying the situation, man. Like, you're out in the middle of nowhere, and you take directions, and, you know, these hillbillies and stuff are coming to get you.
Yeah. And you are right. They had a, it's like they took wrong turn, watered down wrong turn hillbillies and put them in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had really one character, possibly two. But they had one, the dude with the fucking giant dome, and he was leaning over the back of the chair. That was the one character to me that was mutated. That was, you know, nuclear shit, all that mutated. The other ones just look like, you know, wrong turn creepy hillbilly looking things, you know? And then the Jason wannabe that was like clapping cheeks on homeboy, that was it looked like a Jason Voorhees without the mask.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just, it didn't have a whole lot going on for me. I just felt bland. I think it's a big horror movie cliche where you get lost, you ask for direction, you end up somewhere, and, you know, shit happens to you. Fucking Devil's Rejects did it, you know? Same thing.
Yeah, but you know where you can't really knock them for that? Because you got to think, like, yeah, this is a remake, whatever. But it's a remake of a movie from 1977. And even though it was, you know, like Texas Chainsaw is a good example. It wasn't cliche back then. I mean, yeah, it's always been like, don't fucking, you know, you're never going to want to do that. Like, I would never put, if I got to drive through a fucking desert, you best believe I'm not going. Or the woods or whatever other fucking cliche thing you want to throw in there, I ain't going. I'm turning around and bringing my happy ass back home. And I'm going to get on Xbox or something. Like, I'm not fucking going. So I wouldn't be in that situation. But back in 1977, these movies weren't really cliche yet. So, you know, you kind of got to give them a couple points for that, I think. No?
Maybe for a 77 one.
Right. But yeah, but they're doing a remake. it was an iconic movie, you know, for its time. Well, iconic might be a little stretch, huh?
The reason why I wouldn't, it was because it didn't have any personality. It was just so bland. Like, it was like, you know, even the girl that stole his hoodie, you know, like, there was nothing to her other than the fact that, you know, she tackled the dude and they went off the cliff. Like, nothing really jumped out to you. Nothing really captivated you. You look at Devil's Rejects, all these characters stood out. There was so much personality. Captain Spaulding, Baby, yeah. All of them. There was none of that. It was just bland.
Mm-hmm.
And then plus that, the characters that did have, the survivors, there wasn't a whole lot of personality to them either. That, you know, had you picking one side, root for one or the other. The one that probably had the most personality was the father. You know, and he was a dickhead.
Yeah. Dude, I'll agree with you 1,000,000%. I mean, this movie, original nor remake, can even come close to... Rob is probably going to flip the fuck out when he listens to this. We can even come close to House of 1,000 Corpses or Devil's Rejects. He's really going to be pissed off about Devil's Rejects.
But even with the Wrong Turn, like, there was a lot of personality in those things. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Agreed.
There was a lot of personality in them. The fucking, what's his name? The drill sergeant dude in the remake. What's his name? You know what I'm talking about? The guy that played the cop.
In the second one?
Yeah, the one that was like, put the gun in your mouth, show me what happened.
Yeah.
A lot of personality. And it went a long way with the movie. This, it didn't have a lot of that. Plus, it's in the desert, so it's like not a lot of shit going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I'll agree with you there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not arguing this to be top tier. You know, I'm not. But yeah, dude, that's what makes it not top tier. That's what separates it from those movies that are top tier. You mentioned Devil's Rejects, House of 1,000 Corpses, fucking Leatherface. Leatherface is a really good example to bring to this one. That came out in 1974. So there's a 3-year difference from the original Texas Chainsaw and this movie and the original. So I'll give it this too. Texas Chainsaw is miles ahead of The Hills Have Eyes original.
Plus, they had the whole based on a true story thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That goes a long way, too, especially when you're doing something like that. Like, that's fucked up. That goes, that's a lie. I think that's what really helped Blair Witch, too, but even though I think they lied about it, didn't they? That came out like that was a lie. The shit didn't
happen. What do you mean?
Didn't they say it was based on true events or something? Like, it's like a real place, the original one.
The original Blair Witch, they said was, oh, well, yeah, they tried to make it like, they made it act like the actors actually died.
Yeah. That's what people got up to go see the movie for.
Yeah, families were getting fucking, floral arrangements for funerals and mass cards, like, you know, the sympathy cards and shit.
Shit can go a long way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's that shit that separates the remake wouldn't even be close to any type of great discussion, but that's what separates them from top tier, I think.
Yeah.
So I definitely think it had its moments. That trailer scene was crazy. Can we just ignore the rape stuff in there, please?
I mean, it was still a crazy situation when shit unfolds like that. They were not expecting any of it.
Yeah. Like they have the, their father's on fire, father, husband, you know, is on fire on a tree or post, whatever the hell that thing was outside. They're trying to deal with that. Inside, you got this guy. It's like, they really, these little fuckers know how to cause chaos. In this movie, that little pocket of the movie, that was the whole movie right there, which is the problem, you know, part of the problem of it. But that was the whole movie right there. That was chaotic. Like, that was crazy. Then the mother of the baby gets popped. I was like, God damn. I didn't see those characters going out like that, you know, especially right behind each other.
They really put a perspective of family on the hillbillies.
Right. Yeah.
They showed you like they knew how to work together. They knew how to hunt. Now, obviously, you know, there's a bunch of them. So that leads me to question too. Like, there has to be incest involved with this shit. It can't just be on the
I would imagine.
Because in the picture, it was only just a couple of them.
Yeah.
but that little girl came out, like, where was she fucking born, you know? And it just shows you, you know, like, there's an extensive fucking community up here in these hills, and they're very elaborate. They know what they're doing. Somebody taught them.
Yeah, yeah, and like the dude said, they went to the mines, like, how many of them could have possibly been down there, you know? So it's like, obviously, they were fucking the hell out of each other. Yeah, that's how it was carried down, and even got worse.
And then he sends them out there to go on that dirt road, and it's full of fucking radiation.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's, see, like you said, to get to that point, yeah, you know, we've seen it a million times. And but I don't have a problem with that, because only because, and I'll say that, it, as cliche as it is and as eye-rolly as it is, it's what you do with it after, you know, like, because what is Jason? Jason's a lunatic in the woods slashing people with axes. Like, how many times have we heard that, you know? But it's what they did with it that made you just forget about that and be like, all right, well, yeah, they got all that, but this is Jason. They didn't do enough with this. I'll agree with you. They didn't. And there are movies like Wrong Turn. Some of the Wrong Turn movies, they did more than enough with it. Like, I like, especially, I think it was the second one was my favorite out of them. I don't remember. But yeah, some of those movies, they did phenomenal. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, Dismay had the argument. I think it was about Wrong Turn, actually. Wrong Turn 2, when we did that one. She was like, oh, well, we've seen that before. Like, all right, dude, we've fucking seen everything before, but what have they done with it?
I feel like they didn't much with it at all on this one.
Yeah, I'll agree. They were definitely underwhelming with it.
Yeah.
They didn't. But I'm saying that cliche thing, it can work. It can work. It's just, I mean, it didn't go super far in this one, is the, you know, the crux of the whole damn thing, the whole kit and caboodle.
It can always work. It's like a song, man. Can only come up with so many fucking riffs, beats, and stuff. It's how you layer it and make it. You know, 808 is an 808. You know.
Yeah.
What you do with it, you're right. And then plus those cliches are good to some extent. Like, you need the cliches, but there's just got to be a lot more. Like, this, you gotta, you know, when you say like what you do with it, I have some personality in it. You gotta, you know, put some, look at Chucky. Chucky was a doll. They figured out how to fucking make that work like crazy.
Right, you know? Right, yeah.
And then they had the right guy to do it. You know, he brought the personality to that doll.
Chucky is probably the best example of making something out of nothing. Because, good Lord, you're right. Adding personality to a doll? Oh, my God. I mean, look at Annabelle. Annabelle is literally just a doll. It doesn't fucking do anything. Well, physically, it doesn't really. I haven't seen all the Annabelle movies, but I'd never seen the fucker move, talk, nothing.
All through voice acting too, you know. So like, he wasn't really in the suit and nothing, being animating himself while he's talking. He's in a booth somewhere with a microphone in front of him and the script,
right?
And he got that. That's pretty damn fucking good. But I mean, it's not. This is one of those movies where it's. You're going to see it at some point, especially if you're in the horror. Like, it's going to come across, and you're going to see it. And
yeah, and
the tier of it, I don't know, man. I don't think it's a D movie.
No.
I'd put it at, like, a C. Because D movies are with rubber and shit like that.
Oh, God. Rubber's an F.
F, D, F, E, F, G.
Let's be honest.
H, I, J, K. But I'd put it in, like, a C tier.
Yeah, yeah, I would give it a mid to high C. Would you go mid at least?
Or
is it a C minus?
I'm giving it mid C. There's a lot of others like way worse that are out there. This one, I mean, came out in 2006. It was already a remake, so.
$15 million budget, too, at that. A lot of money.
One of the reasons why, I mean, we were talking about this movie, man, is Wes Craven. And this was another reason why I didn't really get into it, because I didn't have that Wes Craven feel, man. You know? You're going to remake the Wes Craven. I didn't feel it. I wasn't feeling the Craven.
No. In the remake, absolutely not. No. I felt nothing of Wes Craven in the remake. And, you know, thinking back on the original, I'd have to rewatch it again to really look for Craven. But, I mean, it's so different than what we are used to. We're used to Freddy Krueger. We're used to Scream. You know, we're used to shit like that from Wes Craven. And what the fuck? What was that movie that was... Damn it, there was a Wes Craven movie that we did and we didn't know. Oh, People Under the Stairs, wasn't it? Yeah, People Under the Stairs was a Wes Craven movie. So, and we had Jimmy Dines on for that motherfucker.
And that one, yep.
Yeah, so that was different than anything, you know, than what we're used to for Wes Craven. But it was much more of a Wes Craven movie than the original Hills Have Eyes, that's for sure.
Maybe he just was getting it because he has another movie. I think he did the Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing. And in his early work, like you can tell, you could point out, like, People Understand where the Scream shit was at. Like, it was there. Where the Freddy shit was at. It was in there. You know, you could point out his shit. And the Hills Have Eyes, the original one, stuff like that. Well, I think he's just getting going because I don't really see it a lot in there either. But at the same time, like, there's things in there that just make it a Wes Craven thing. Like, you can see by how their characters are stalky, you know, they're running around being all sneaky. And they had that in this one, but it was more or less because they were trying to hide the figures. Here, the one in the beginning, the original one, they weren't really trying to hide them too much. That's just how Wes is. He has that mindset of trying to keep those killers, for some reason, concealed until they're ready to be exposed. He's done that with a lot of them, if not all of them. You know, very stealthy, very sneaky. They're not seen always. They want to be seen, and they're ready to be seen. This one was doing it more or less like a trope, I guess. You know, it wasn't very Wes Craven-y. Because once they're exposed and they're out there, it was very lackluster. It just didn't have that Wes Craven thing on.
And let's be honest. Their biggest creature was that dude at the end that looked like Jason.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing creative about it. There was nothing that stood out. Like, he was a big fucker. There was nothing really, I don't know. Like, yeah, they had a couple cool scenes with it. You know, like using the screwdriver to get his foot in the floor. Like, you know, like, yeah, that was cool. You didn't really see it coming, sure. But the character itself, I don't know, man. All I did was look and say, oh, that's a Jason wannabe. That's all I thought of them. It wasn't impressive. It wasn't, you know, they had a few things that were cool, but the thing I think this movie did best was build tension. And, you know, like I said, with that chaotic scene with the trailer and everything and Daddy on fire, with him trying to sneak that baby out too, you know, that was nice.
My favorite part of the movie probably being I don't even know. What was your favorite part of it?
It's a mixture between that shotgun with dude in the porta potty, because that was crazy. It would probably, and I feel like I'm copping out, like I'm sorry, but it was the trailer thing, because this movie really didn't give you a lot of memorable things.
Yeah.
Which was part of it. Hey, you know what really pissed me off the most about this movie that may sound stupid? Homeboy at the end when he was, you know, looking for the baby and all this and that. The bat. The bat that he had. Bro, they couldn't have done anything creative with that bat. Barbed wire around it. Hammer some rocks into it. Something. You're going to go up against these fucking mutated hillbilly creatures and you already seen some of them were big fuckers. You go with a baseball bat? A blunt object?
Yeah, I don't know.
That stuck out to me, dude, so bad, and I don't know why.
It's funny.
Yeah, that is, like, you couldn't have done it. Put some nails in it, something. You couldn't have done anything with that fucking bat.
Lost the guns real fast, didn't they?
They what?
They lost the guns real fast.
Yeah, and yeah, the son that the dude's eating your dead mother. And you run away? Dude, you're holding a gun. Shoot that motherfucker. There were parts where it annoyed the shit out of me.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I can't. My favorite part, I just feel like the original did such a good job with, like, the setup, the way everything was getting hunted down. You know, their fights were a little bit more interesting. Everything seemed one side, like you said, like, you know, he ran away. There was no struggle, just off the sheer fright of what he saw. Granted, you know, shit like that wasn't happening in the first one, but you know, it seemed like it was a little bit more action to it. There was a lot more shit going on. This one, I think they I don't know, man. It's hard to pick a favorite scene from it. I would have to go with the shotgun one, I guess.
They didn't give you many.
But even that, like, that was just, you know, a suicide scene. It didn't really have nothing to do with, you know, the people, the creatures, or you know, the survivors. But I like how he figured it out just by looking at the newspaper on the wall.
I know. Yeah. But I think this movie ultimately suffered from too much time. It was way too long of a movie. If they cut out a lot of shit, and we had more beef than stick, we would have been a lot better off with it.
Yeah. Even they had the dogs in the original one. And just the tension with the dogs running around and shit like that. Like, they tried to implement it in this, but then they were put in the trailer. Told shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like,
you brought up the dogs, though. Damn it.
Yeah, the damn dogs.
I was trying not to, man. I hate when dogs die in movies. I hate it. Why?
This movie was fucked up, man.
Why, man? And you know what was funny, though? Because it was the same. Me and you have had this with Dakota. Like, remember the one part where the dog got out, like, right before he found it dead? And that came before he had to chase after it. His face and his expression. When that dog got out and he knew he had to chase it, he's like, oh, god damn it again. We know that feeling all too well.
Yeah. He went and fucking tried to go get it, though.
He did. But he knew. He's like, oh, god damn. That's a fucker that's had to chase after those dogs a lot.
Fuck. But you know something's wrong, man. They really downplayed that.
Yeah. Yeah, but they did downplay it. You're right, because... But see, I don't mind. I don't want it there at all. That's just me personally. And I get, dude, you're right. Because that is an avenue that they could have used. And it would have been effective. Because I'm right now with what they did pissed me off and got me, you know, emotionally invested as it was. So if they would have utilized that correctly, they could have got even more out of it. You're 1,000,000% right. I just hate when fucking dogs die in movies. God damn it, I hate it so much. But the last dog, that motherfucking man at the end, came through, boy. Hey, yo, piss me off. He saved that fucker's life and he ran away and left the dog. What a piece of shit.
Motherfucker, he likes to run, man.
Yeah, he ran away and left the dog. That dog just took one in the ass for you, man. You helped that fucking dog.
Yeah. That dog was beautiful. Made me want to get a German Shepherd. You know? But yeah, I'd put it in the tier, in a T tier category.
But what would you Portnoy this thing?
Portnoy?
Be nice.
I give it a 5-6.
Wow, you're a lot nicer than I thought you would be. Okay, wow. Yeah, I'm probably around that neighborhood too. Probably about a 5-7. Yeah, I'm in the same neighborhood as you. It really wasn't. You know, I'll go 5-8. I'll go 5. Right near a 6, kind of, sort of, 5-8. It's almost a 6. I think if it was a good 20 minutes shorter, it had the potential to be a 7.4, 7.5 potential. But they didn't do that, so we'll never know.
I just don't understand, like, too, like, the main protagonist ended up being, like, the underwhelming boyfriend. You know, it didn't have, it was just a lackluster of personality, man. It was not, I don't know, there's nothing that I really drew from it.
There's nothing you related to.
No, well, not only that, but I'm saying, like, we talked about Joyride. You see how Paul Walker and what's his name, like, those characters, like, you can get into the movie because of them, what they were doing, what they were up against, how they portrayed the movie. You know, just this movie didn't really, the characters didn't have any kind of, it was just flat. You know, there was really, to me, no difference between the boyfriend and the brother and the sisters. They were all kind of real just flat. None of them really stood out. It wasn't really no. Now, if you put that Paul Walker into this movie, ups the fucking movie. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You put him in, take that Paul Walker from Joyride and put him in this movie. It upped the action. It upped the, all that shit. You know, or let's just say they had, when they stopped, you had a character like Captain Spaulding at the gas station. It ups it. You know, it's just, it felt like real flat. It was real monotone.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I agree with you. You know what else really pissed me off, by the way? At the end, what the fuck was that hero music they were playing? You know, it just didn't fit. Like, I get it. They was triumphant. But, dude, this is Hills Have Eyes. This is a Wes Craven movie. There's no way Wes Craven would have let that music into a Hills Have Eyes movie. There's no fucking way. Like, it felt like a Rambo, Rocky movie.
You look at Scream. Mm-hmm. You had Sydney.
Since you think it's a scary movie again.
Dewey. You want to play with Uncle Ray? Yeah, and all these characters, man. Gale, there was so much personality in them. Up the movie. And then, like, what you're saying with the music and all that, too. I didn't even think about that, man.
Yeah.
It was another thing. It was like, you know, that didn't really fit too well.
Yeah, it was like, what the... Like, dude, you have to keep in mind, you're making a horror movie. Who the fuck directed this goddamn thing? Because now I'm getting mad just by thinking of that damn music. I was like, what the fuck is this? It's like a Rocky movie. Like, he just got done climbing the steps. Hills Have Eyes, 2006. You would think I would have this already. The director, I mean, granted, he signed off on the movie, so he's getting the blame. Alexandra Aja. Hills Have Eyes. Oh, fuck me. High Tension. Jesus Christ. Me and Dismay got into a battle over this movie. And all of our listeners, go back and listen to that one. She got big mad over what I had to say about that one. He did Piranha 3D. He hasn't done a lot.
That was another thing, too. The music score, nothing really stood out. Like, there wasn't really, like... It was just such a flat movie, dude.
It was a very beige movie. That's how I like to put it. It was a very beige movie.
Definitely, no lie. They were out in the desert. Everything was fucking beige. You know, and that was another thing, too, I think, well, you know, talking about it now, like, the filmography of it, like, you know, like, how the Matrix has, like, a certain look. There was no kind of real, it was just, like, shot, boom, that's it. There was no, like, real edit to it to give it kind of, like, a grit.
Yeah.
They tried to do, like, a dirty movie with a clean shot.
Yes. And the original Hills Have Eyes was very gritty. I mean, granted, some of it might have been because they didn't have much of a choice, but either way, that's how it was. And again, to give Texas Chainsaw a little credit, that was the best display of a gritty, clean movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, they did it well. But yeah. That's too, because, like, look at the characters, though, man. Like, they wore that shit. They looked like they were really going through. You know, and granted, I understand, like, they just got caught and they pulled over and shit just started happening. But, you know, they look like they just got their clothes and shit out the dryer and they just got dressed, made the trip. There was no signs of, like, fatigue. You know, like that Texas Chainsaw remake that had sweat in their armpits. Shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be on a road trip, you're going to see, like, a fucking stain on your shirt or something. There was nothing.
True. True.
It was like, we just got this out of the trailers, press, put this on. We're gonna
The only real motherfucker in there was Ted Levine, man. He said, what are we going to do? We're going to walk. We're going to walk. Damn right. We're going to walk. Pour water on his head. Mickey was ready to go. And he made it, too.
That's what I mean. Like, he was probably the one that had, yeah, the most personality. Then they took him out.
Yeah, quickly. Yeah. That was a getter. They called him Big Bob. Make Big Bob.
Big Bob's coming for you.
What did he do to get that name? Big Bob and Daddy. That was perfect.
I can think of a few things that he did.
I don't know. But, yeah, I think that Hills Have Eyes, man. I mean, I remembered it being better, but you know what? It's still, I think anything above a 5 isn't bad. I don't think it was bad. I just think it wasn't, you know, it was a horror movie, run-of-the-mill horror movie.
We're talking about fucking comparing shit to the Ferraris of horror.
Yeah.
And this is stuff that, you know, is the Mustang Camaro of things, and like it's your base. It's, you know, it's something. It's meaty.
I don't even know if I'd give it that.
Then maybe you put it at the. I don't want to say Civics, but
oh, me no. No, don't give it the Civic. We gotta come up with something better.
Put it at the fucking the Monte Carlo of things.
Okay, all right. The Malibu.
The Malibu.
The Chevy Malibu. The old school Malibu of things.
Best metaphor I can come up with. It's when we were comparing things to the creme de la creme.
Right.
I think that any person just reviewing movies in general, man, or just any person that's into movies or in film, you'll see shit like that. And I remember when this movie came out too, man, like for some reason, like my parents were never really big into movies. I mean, sure, everybody would rent movies from Blockbuster and hang out. Speaking of which, they're doing an Airbnb in Blockbuster. But anyway.
Yes, they are. But it's only for fucking people who live in that area. That's bullshit.
You better enjoy that shit. I want somebody to go in there and bring a kid. You better do a full in-depth review.
Make, imagine sitting in that Blockbuster, no drawers on, nothing, hiney on the couch.
Oh, man.
Cheeks out?
Yep. I wouldn't even bring my cell phone. I'd fully emerge back into that time.
Just bring packs of popcorn. And you sit on the couch butt naked with the bucket of popcorn, I said. Yeah. And the remote.
That's what I mean.
But, yeah, man, I mean, I think that's Hills Have Eyes. I don't know.
When this came out, it was one of those movies that everything was hype. And it was even one that I sat down and watched with my parents. Like, it wasn't that bad. What month did this get released?
What month?
Yeah.
Let's see. Hills Have Eyes, 2006. March 10th of 2006. March. Yeah. Seems like a March movie.
I think that sums it up.
Yeah, there's not much else to say about this one. Guys, thank you for listening. We love your support. Go check us out at slasherradio.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. You keep up with everything that we're doing. We're at slasherradio. I'm at Mikey's Dad. Mink, where are they finding you?
I'm about to spend it with 2 R's.
And you can be careful when you go to that fucking candle.
Yep. Or be careful when you're looking under your bed. I mean it too.
Oh yeah, you said it. Find me under the bed.
Get under the bed. You never know.
You never fucking know. But come back and check us out next week, guys. Good night from Slasher Radio.
All the best of Slasher Radio podcast.
Oh shit. Make fucking Dead by Daylight's cross plat now.
It's official cross plat?
Yep.
Quit playing.
Nope. Fucking official. 100%.
When I thought it was supposed to be in September.
Nope. It's official.
Well, blow me down. I'm excited. That's good. That's good news. God, did you make that rank?
Nope.
Oh, shit.
Didn't even come close.
So where you at now?
Went back to a fucking 9.
We're both 9s.
There we go.
Probably gonna reset anyway, because I gotta... I might buy it on the Switch, man.
You might as well, man. Ghost got her. She got a like regular full-size Switch.
Gonna get it on there?
Yeah, I think she said she's going to. She was looking into, like, I forget what they call it, cross progression. Pretty much where you can, you know, keep all your shit from platform to platform.
Well, Xbox has got 60% off. PlayStation's running 50%, but with 40% DLC.
Then oh, damn.
I don't know what the Switch is going to do, man, because they got to have a sale themselves, dude. I said 40% off. Fucking all the DLC packages are like $10. So you're paying like what, $6 for the whole thing?
Something like that, yeah.
Paying like $6 and change for the whole entire DLC. I paid $10, thought it was just for the Steve. That came with the whole Stranger Things DLC. I got the Demogorgon, I got him, I got the Nancy, I got all the three perks they start with, plus the Demogorgon perks.
Yeah.
So shit.
That's smart of them, man. Because, like you said, the regular character is like $5. So, you know, I think about how many people are gonna buy a one character and like, oh, an extra dollar. That extra dollar, a couple hundred thousand times, ain't bad.
Mm-mm. So I was like, damn, Xbox put a 60% sale on, but there's no sale of the DLC. PlayStation,
yeah.
50% on the game, but 40% off all DLC till the end of the month.
Yeah.
I can get it and just stock up on whoever.
And Switch ain't doing nothing? Oh, no. Switch, you said, had a sale?
No, that's what I mean. I don't know what they got going on.
God, suckers.
I don't know what they have. I haven't seen anything from Switch. And Switch is the one they're charging the most for the game.
Yeah. Game. Damn, cocksuckers. Probably because they're the ones that benefit the most from this cross-plat thing.
I mean, yeah. But
they know that shit.
They want almost $40 for the game. Everybody else is taking like $25. Now you can get it on PlayStation for $15.
Yeah.
And then you can get it all the DLC 40% off, man. So that means you can
know what that means?
Freddy, Ghostface, the Michael Myers package, all that shit.
Oh, you still can't buy Freddy on Switch.
You can't.
No, Ghost was looking.
See, that's the thing. And then plus when updates happen, you'll be a week late.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what, man? It's still to that, like you say all the time, that power to bring it with you.
Yeah, I know.
You got that trumps it all.
I don't know why Nintendo doesn't just fucking take off the gloves, man, and just make a console that can go pound for pound with them.
Yeah.
I was looking it up. Yeah. I spent some research time on it, man. It runs 30 frames per second on the game, which ain't bad. I mean, but that's it. You know, like, you can run 60 on Xbox, PlayStation, and plus you get all the updates right then and there along with the PC. But then you can take it anywhere you want. If you wanted to fucking go out to eat and play Dead by Daylight, you could go do it. You could bring the Switch and sit down and play.
Yep.
Log onto their Wi-Fi, and then you're connected and run game.
You don't even need their Wi-Fi if you have that, like that. It's like a cell phone plan, kind of, for Wi-Fi through them.
Hot spot.
Right.
Yeah. That's true, man. You bring that fucker with you anywhere you want to go.
Yep. It's fucking out, man. But it's really annoying because if you get a killer, you can't message them and talk shit if they're not on Xbox. God damn it.
Sure. Oh, no, you can't, man. Platform.
Yeah.
You can't.
Bastard.
It might make it to where it's like Fortnite. You can't.
Maybe. I don't know.